This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
My guest this morning, Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram, and my conversation with him will begin right after this, so stay with us.
Stop in and visit the Community Thrift Shop in downtown Pendleton. It's no ordinary secondhand store. This little gem offers a boutique experience at thrift store prices. Stop in, and stop in often, as the gently used donations hit the shelves daily. Your donations of gently used vintage and antique items are always appreciated. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 10. Follow Community Thrift Shop on Facebook, and remember, all proceeds from the Community Thrift Shop proudly support Heritage Station Museum.
Local news, local issues, local talk. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour, and we're off and rolling for a new year. It is 2024, and my guest this morning is Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. And Chief, thanks for joining us this morning.
Morning, Dan. I hope you had a good holiday season and a happy new year.
Well, I did. And I was going to ask, how did Christmas and New Year's go for you and your officers?
Oh, well, just like every year, this time of year, it gets a little busy for us because there's just more people, more volume out and about doing stuff. And it creates a little more workload, but nothing that we're not used to. Happy to report that this year, no major incidents involving any major injuries and or serious criminal activity against person-on-person type crimes. However, there were a few things that we encounter every year. For example, just starting from December 22nd until yesterday, we took a total of 632 calls for service that resulted in about 45 arrests for the department. So the volume's there, but like I said, nothing major. I know that we'd been dealing with some car prowlers up in the North Hill area. From my understanding is that we do have individual identified for that we're still working on. So more to be on that one. From my understanding, the individuals that had their cars broken into did not want to pursue charges against this individual. So I don't know if I'll be releasing any names or anything like that, but there may be more to come on that here soon. I don't want to get the cart before the horse until the investigation is completed. Also been dealing with some thefts and burglaries from in the downtown core that we have video surveillance on, and we're also working on that. One of which occurred at the Flying X Speakeasy located in the 200 block of Southwest 1st on the 27th, where somebody broke through the gate leading down to the main area and stole a speaker that belonged to them. Our officers, through the course of looking at the video surveillance system, were able to identify a suspect. They were able to locate him last night, interviewed him, and then lodged him for the theft and for the criminal mischief. So that's good work by our officers to try to hold somebody accountable for their actions in the downtown core. It is one of those things that we deal with this every year. This time of year is the burglaries and the thefts usually do go up because, again, there's just more people buying stuff, more stuff left out, more just a lot more activity out and about this time of year. So we are aware of it. We're working on those incidents, and hopefully I'll have some more updates soon on that. One of our officers did get hurt over the holiday season as a result of criminal actions. That occurred a little bit after 3 o'clock p.m. on the 30th. The officer and his trainee were actually parked in the area of Eastgate, monitoring Oregon State Police radio traffic for a possible stolen vehicle coming our way, when we received a call of a fight at the saddle. So the officers were there within a minute, and when they got there, there was a subject being held down by bar patrons, but when the officer tried to take control of the scene, the individual squirmed away, got up, and punched my officer straight in the eye. He lost vision for a while, which was kind of concerning to all of us involved, and so he went to the hospital for evaluation, but the vision did come back, just the quick trauma, getting hit straight in the eye really affected him, and so he had to take a couple days off just to try to get right and to be patrol worthy. So we're glad that he's back. that individual who punched my officer is identified as Kashmir Murr, M-U-R-R, with a date of birth of 2002. He was lodged at the Umatilla County Jail for several charges, including assaulting a public safety officer. Also, one of his associates that was in the bar with him, Ethan J. Tappo, born in 2001, was also lodged at the jail for aggravated harassment because he spit on the medics who arrived on scene to evaluate my officer. So, again, those two individuals hopefully can be held accountable in the judicial system, and this kind of activity is not going to be tolerated.
Well, the last time you were here, you spoke about someone throwing rocks through windows. Do you have an update on that?
I do, and I think the last time I talked to you, Dan, we were discussing that we did have somebody on video surveillance who we believed that we thought it was, and that I would be highly disappointed if it turned out to be that individual. Well, it was. So during the course of this whole investigation, from about December 5th through December 11th, five different, windows, or five different incidents of windows being broken, both at City Hall and at the post office, were recorded on video surveillance. And each time it was the same individual who we were able to identify as Pendleton resident Jackson Amsbury, who was lodged at the Umatilla County Jail on criminal mischief one charges, felony charges for the rock throwing incidents. Several thousand dollars worth of damage was done. This is unfortunate that this happened. Like I said, we've worked with Jackson Amsbury a lot. We are intimately familiar with him, and I am sensitive to his plight and all that, but we're not going to tolerate criminal activity out of him either. So he was lodged in the Umatilla County Jail on that, and we'll let that go through the court process and see what kind of accountability comes out of it.
All right. Well, we understand that the police department is taking over issuing special parking permits like those needed for construction jobs for the city. Explain why that makes sense instead of the previous method.
Well, I think just cutting out some bureaucracy, you know, all that went through the city manager's office where that didn't need to be, really. Because, again, when there's parking issues that arise, the city manager doesn't get called. The police department gets called. So issuance of the parking citations can easily go through my department through our record management system. Therefore, we're taking out some of the bureaucracy, some of the red tape that goes with it. I think that it'll be easier for the individuals who are applying for the permits to get it done. And it will just, like I said, cut out some of the middlemen involved in all of that. It'll just go straight to us. We know where these permits are going to be going. If somebody calls in a parking complaint in one of those areas, we know the permit's been pulled. We don't have to go run around and try to contact people at City Hall to figure out if a permit's been issued or not. We will already have it in our hands, in our system, and we will know. So looking forward to getting that up and running. Hopefully at some point I'm going to have the permits online for people to fill out and just submit directly to us. Again, also cut out some of that red tape. So stay tuned for that. We're going to try to streamline the system a little bit and make it easier for everybody to use.
All right. Talking this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. We're going to take a break. Back with more, so stay with us.
Folks, book your tickets, fasten your seatbelt, put your seat in the upright position, and fly Walla Walla. The Port of Walla Walla and its community partners worked hard to get back the second flight with an early a.m. departure and a late p.m. arrival to and from Seattle. Let's rally behind this expanded air service and make it a success. Book your tickets today at alaskaair.com. Fly Walla Walla, and remember, free parking.
It's that time of year again, and we're here to make sure you are winter ready. Hi, Scott here with Pendleton Tire and Auto, your hometown headquarters for winter driving. Nokia and Mitchell and BF Goodrich, Falkland and Hankook, we have your winter tire needs covered. Our shop is ready to ensure your vehicle is ready for the snow and freezing temperatures. Batteries, brakes, heating, wipers, shocks, and charging systems. Stop by for a free inspection, and we'll be sure you're safe out there on the winter roads. Please always be sure your windows are free of ice and snow. Slow down and arrive safe. Pendleton Tire and Auto, Eastgate Pendleton, 276-2774.
Prince lovers, come reminisce the sights and sounds at the Purple Experience Prince Tribute Show at Wild Horse Resort and Casino. On Sunday, February 18th at 7 p.m. in Rivers Event Center, get ready for one of the world's greatest authentic Prince Tribute shows, Purple Experience. This five-piece group, hailing from Prince's birthplace, have been touring around the country since 2011. Get tickets now at wildhorseresort.com. Must be 21. Purple Experience Prince Tribute Show at Wild Horse Resort and Casino in Pendleton.
More engaging talk. Let's get back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
back this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. And Chief, have you made any progress in the area of not having enough space for your contracted tow company to put abandoned cars?
Well, you know, it's one of those ever-evolving things that we're still trying to work on. It's not an easy solution for the problem that we're having. It is working with Frankie's Towing, our contracted tow company, and Joe Merritt, who I believe is doing everything that he can. And quite honestly, he's a wonderful community partner to work with that we're contracted with. It's just too much rolling stock for him right now, too many cars towed. And so what he has to do is he has to work with the state to try to get the titles for those vehicles. And it takes a while. If anybody's ever worked with the state right now, they will know, especially the DMV, that it does take time to get stuff processed. And then once he gets it processed, and then he has to try to get those cars out for scrap. He can't part those cars out. He doesn't have that license, which is fine. He doesn't want that license. So it's a matter of us. I've spoken with the city manager about this. I've also been speaking with our code enforcement officers about this, prioritizing the vehicles right now until Mr. Merritt can get us some more space, or the city of Pendleton finds us some space in order to put towed cars for the city. So those are options that are on the table. We're working on it. I know he's getting them out of there as fast as he can so that he can bring in more vehicles. Our code enforcement officers are calling him and arranging with dates and times to make sure that he does have the space so that we can get them off the street quicker. I know it's an issue. It's the first time we've encountered this issue. So that just tells you the volume that we're dealing with the abandoned vehicles and stuff like that. So we're working on it. I can't say that I have a total solution right now, because finding more space is the biggest issue, and we just can't create that space overnight. So working on it, it's a priority, but we are still towing cars. He's still trying to get them out of there as fast as he can. So I will give more information and more updates as they become available to me.
And talk about the hoops your tow company has to jump through to tow and scrap an abandoned vehicle.
Well, again, it's working with the DMV. I think they got to wait 30 days to apply for the lost title or the title for the vehicle for it to be abandoned. And I don't think that that 30-day window is being met by the state. From my understanding from speaking with Joe Merritt, is that it takes a lot longer than that. And then he has to go through with the process of getting those vehicles out to scrap, which I guess is also a process in and of itself as well. So it's all of that backlog stuff, the stuff done on the back end of just getting a car towed, that's really creating the issue right now for us and for him. I know that he wants to get them out faster. It's just he can't legally get them out faster. So it's just one of those things that we have to deal with right now, and we're trying to do the best with what we got.
We understand the Police Academy has expanded the size of some of its classes to decrease the backlog of new hires waiting to get in. Are you noticing a difference yet because of the change?
Well, I haven't personally noticed a difference, because all of our officers that are in the academy right now, we have four in the academy right now. Well, not right now, because it's shut down for the holiday break and all that, and in an in-service training. So our officers that were in the academy are back riding around with the field training officers and getting some more on-the-road experience before they head back for their final stretch run at the academy. But all of our officers already had academy dates set before they decided to expand the academy classes and stuff like that. DPSST has been extremely communicative in this issue, in the backlog that is taking place. They are trying everything they can to get people through the academy, but not sacrifice the quality. And I appreciate that more than anything. You never sacrifice quality in exchange for expediency, because that's just going to create more problems down the road. And that's not what we need in this profession. So by them expanding their class means that they have to find more instructors. They have to find more room. They have to do all that stuff. So logistically, it's been very trying for them, but they're doing the best that they can. And I really appreciate everything that they're doing to help everybody out in the state to get more officers out into their communities. So it really didn't affect us right now. But I know that they're expanding the class size from 40 to 60, or even doubling them. They're running more hybrid classes, day nights type of thing. So it's going to see an impact. But I think right now they just started doing it. So we'll see how it works later on down the road.
Now, in Washington State, they're opening regional academies. Do you think that would work in Oregon?
I know that I went to a regional academy graduation up in Spokane a few months ago, and I was thinking that, you know, that might be something that would work. I just don't know if our east side of the state can support a regional academy. And those are the conversations that we've had at the state level through the police or chiefs of police association, along with DPSST, regional academy, hybrid academy type. We have the technology now. How come we can't Zoom in a classroom and keep our people over here, but then sit them in a classroom or on a monitor and still get the same type of classroom instruction? I understand that there's practical stuff that they need to go to the academy for vehicle stops, building searches, all of that stuff, all the hands-on stuff. But for the classroom stuff, to expand your class size, the technology's available, and it keeps our officers more in our community as well. So that's something that we've talked about. I don't know if they're ready to do that yet. I think they're going to see if this works or not. But nothing as far as creating a brick and mortar structure over here on the east side of the state. I don't think that's economically feasible for anybody, because I just don't think the volume's here.
And we often hear that background checks on people applying for volunteer organizations are required. Who does the checking?
Well, there's a lot of online databases for that nowadays, and a lot of companies that can go through open source materials and paid subscriptions to check out individuals' background. I know for the city of Pendleton, for example, if somebody wants to volunteer with the city of Pendleton, we run the background check on them, because we do have, you know, access to all those databases anyways for criminal histories and stuff like that. But that's just for the city of Pendleton in and of themselves. We can't do that for private entities. But there's avenues out there for private businesses to run the background checks. I would highly recommend that they subscribe to one of those services so that they don't have to hire somebody and 2 days down the road they discover that that individual is actually swiping all the credit card numbers of their employees or of their customers and then using them, you know, in different parts of the state, which has happened here. So I would definitely encourage business owners to do that if it's economically feasible for them, obviously. It's tough right now in this climate, I think, to justify extra costs as it is right now.
And can anyone run a background check on an individual?
I believe so. Like I said, there's open databases out there that you can subscribe to. You pay the money, they'll search the person and they'll dig up stuff on them. Again, court records are all public records, and all you have to do is you have to go in and search them, and either that or send in a request for somebody to search that information and send it to you. And it usually comes at a monetary cost, a small monetary cost, but yes, that can be done.
All right, talking this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. We're going to take another break. Back with more. Stay with us.
Miss a KUMA coffee hour? Download the podcast. Go to elkhornmediagroup.com. Live and local, it's the KUMA coffee hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Need a ride to the store? Work? Auto repair? The City of Pendleton provides several transportation options for the community. Transportation programs consist of Letterbus Transit, which operates buses weekdays throughout the town for the general public, a senior and disabled taxi ticket program, and a daily van service. To learn more about the City of Pendleton's transportation services, go to their website, pendleton.or.us/transportation. That's pendleton.or.us/transportation, and see what transportation option is best for you.
Stay warm and save money with help from Zimmerman & Company True Value. Here's Jeff to tell you more.
You find that people are coming in for thermostats, and if you get a programmable one, it may actually end up saving you a substantial amount of money. Well, you can program them so that they cut down on the amount of use while you're sleeping and then kick on automatically before you wake up.
Open 7 days a week, Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street for over 80 years in downtown Pendleton.
A Pendleton original. It's the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back this morning with Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Byram. The Pendleton Police Department has used body cameras for some time now. Meanwhile, Portland has just approved equipping 810 of its officers with the cameras sometime between April and August. What took, in your mind, what took Portland so long?
Well, I can't speak to what they got going on over there. I'm not involved in any of the decision making. I'm not involved in the processes over there. I read everything just like you all do, and that's what I know. So I would be, you know, it would just be negligence on my part to even comment on what their thought process or why it took as long as it did. I know that we started our body camera program, I believe, back in 2019 with a grant. There was a lot, I wouldn't say a lot, but there was some concern about how this was going to work for us because, again, new stuff, you know, new things to do. How is this going to work? And I can tell you that I wouldn't want our officers doing their job today without those body cameras. It helps us a lot in complaints. It helps us with training. It helps with evidence preservation. I just can't imagine police officers this day and age with the technology that's available that they wouldn't have those on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, I understand that problems come up, just like with any technological equipment, issues arise. But it seems like this day and age, when those issues arise, there's a certain group or subset that in every community that will point at us and say, you guys are doing that on purpose. That's why the technology is failing and all that stuff. Well, I can tell you right now, as the chief of police of the city of Pendleton Police Department, I do not have access to the cameras in order to delete videos. I can't do it. Nobody in my agency can do it. What we can do is we can redact those videos for purposes of giving information to the public, but we cannot delete any video. That is done through the company, through a records retention system based on what the Oregon administrative rules are in the state about how long we have to keep records. So it's one of those things that we get accused about a lot, that we can go in and manipulate those videos like that. It can't be done. Our policies in place that our officers are going to turn those things on. Are mistakes made with that in the heat of the moment? Absolutely. And we do hold them accountable for that. But at the same time, since I've been sitting in the chief's chair for the last 3 years now, those cameras have helped us more than they've hurt us. And that's a good thing to have. And it's there for transparency. It's there to hold us accountable. It's also there to hold the people accountable that we're interacting with on a daily basis. So I can't imagine doing this job without those cameras moving forward at all.
And I wanted to ask you about restructuring. It is a new year, and I imagine there will be some changes in 2024.
You know, some issues arose within this agency over the last few months where I found it necessary to take a look at the structure of the Pendleton Police Department and how we run our day-to-day operations. We have a lot of veteran officers that are coming upon the time when they're thinking about retiring within the next, you know, few years. And what am I doing to prop up the next generation of leaders within our agency that are going to move us forward, make us better, leave this agency better than how I'm planning on leaving it, type of thing. You know, I want somebody in there that wants to drive it forward, wants to move it along, wants to progress it. And so in order to do that, some restructuring does need to happen. I'm planning here within the next few days to hold an assessment for an administrative lieutenant position that will basically split lieutenant duties, because right now Lieutenant Nelson, with all of the reporting requirements that we have to do these days and the fact that we've grown our agency just in these 3 short years by many more positions, it's overwhelming for him even to keep up with the day-to-day mandatory day-to-day duties that he needs to do. If you look at somebody like the Hermiston Police Department, they have those day-to-day duties split up within two people. And so I'm kind of mirroring that again. I know that a few years ago under Chief Roberts, we ran a two-lieutenant system, but I plan on doing it differently this time, meaning that they're going to have distinct duties and responsibilities. This administrative lieutenant position was going to be over the detective division. It is going to allow for this lieutenant to have oversight of Bent. And the detective division, as well as the administrative personnel within the department, as far as the office assistants and all of that. So that'll take away some duties and responsibilities from Lieutenant Nelson, that he can focus on the patrol and training side, which is really what we need right now, because we got so many people in training. I feel that it would be better for our agency, better for our community, that we have a little more structure going on. And I'm excited to see it. We have 3 candidates that have put in for it. And when we run the assessment, it's going to be interesting to see who comes out. And I'm excited for the opportunity for all these people. And quite honestly, it's a cost-saving measure too because of the overtime administration. Administrative people like me and Lieutenant Nelson don't get paid overtime. So this individual will run a lot of hours with the same amount of pay, basically. And so it's a win for the city, it's a win for the taxpayers, and it's a win for our agency.
And as you're working on this restructuring, and specifically what you were talking about regarding this change in, I guess, position, it's helping the department, do you have a time frame and it's to when you'll make the decision?
I want to have somebody in place by the end of this month. An assessment process that we need to go through. I have a chief's conference coming up here next week, so that's going to get in the way, but I do have to attend that. I need to go to that. And then after that, we will have that assessment, and then we will make the determination based on what the assessment outcome is. I'm not going to hurry this process again, because if you try to expedite something, inherently mistakes are made. We will let this evolve naturally within the time frame that's allowed, but hopefully by the end of the month, I will have somebody identified and in place in order to start working towards bettering this department.
And am I correct, the last time we spoke about staffing, you're in good shape for 2024?
We are right now, as of full staffed. I have nobody left to hire. I still have four in training and at the academy. Those are the four extra positions that we started adding in 2021 and 2022 through the grant. Once those individuals are out, like I said, I will be creating a fourth beat system where one officer, 24 hours a day, 365, depending on vacation, sickness, and all that stuff, will be assigned to the River Levee and the downtown core, either on bike, foot, or patrol car, or a combination thereof. They will be working with Community Counseling Solutions, and they'll be working with Umatilla County Parole and Probation in order to identify and interact with those at the intersections of homelessness, addiction, mental health, and provide them services or hold them accountable for crimes that are being committed.
And anything you want to share regarding the chief meeting that you'll be attending as far as the agenda or what you might be covering?
I haven't looked at the agenda yet. It's just training hours that are mandated every year for me to get in, and we only have two of those conferences. Also, I need to go because this year in April, the Chiefs Conference is going to be held in Pendleton. So I need to be there so that I have input and say about how it's going to go when they all come here in April.
All right. Sounds good. Well, my guest again, Pendleton Police Chief Chuck Barham. Thank you for joining us this morning. And that's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. We'll be back again tomorrow. Join us then.
For local news, sports, and weather. News Radio, FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.